Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke. It is a pleasure to welcome Jody Sikas, Associate Professor of Scenic Design and Technology and Digital Design and Fabrication here at UW-Parkside. Prior to joining UW-Parkside in 2012, Jody taught at Humboldt State University in California and the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Jody has worked as a freelance designer and technician for such venues as the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, Milwaukee Chamber Theater, First Stage Children's Theater, North Coast Repertory Theater, and many others. Jody, welcome to Parkside today.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
For a number of years, the UW-Parkside Theater Arts Department and theater arts students have earned numerous awards and recognition at the annual Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, both regionally and nationally. But this year is special, and tell us about why it's special.
This year, we are taking an entire production, and the play is Midnight in Mall Flanders, written by Wisconsin playwright Marie Kohler. And so of the 30 entries in our five-state region, we were one of five shows selected to be able to present our show at the regional festival.
How about the fact that the playwright Marie Kohler was actually here working with students during rehearsal, correct?
She was, and that was a tremendous opportunity for our students. So it was a five-week rehearsal period, 5 days a week, and Marie was in nearly every one of those days to be there and would do script rewrites and edits and work with the students on understanding their characters more and what the play. She was there to explain what the playwright intended behind the character choices and the scenes, and it was just great. It's a rare opportunity and great for the students to be able to do that.
As far as the production itself, how does the Kennedy Center Festival make the determination to bring that particular production to the festival, to this region?
So in this region, it's five states. It's Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And collegiate theaters throughout those five states can choose to enter their production to be considered to be taken to the regional festival. So this year there were 30 entries, and for each of those 30 entries, two festival judges come out and see your production and then give feedback to the students that night that they come. Mm-hmm. And then all of those judges get together in, I guess, early December and hash out who is going to, you know, which are the best five of those 30 entries to really represent the region and showcase the talent that we have in collegiate theater in our region. Mm-hmm. And so then that's where it gets narrowed down. And we found out in early December that we were selected. And then we got to start planning.
And what is it about the production? What do you think maybe impressed those people as far as wanting them to make sure that Mall Flanders was included in the festival?
Well, because it's great, John.
Besides it being great.
All around, it's one thing that we do really well here at UW-Parkside Theater is every single aspect really comes together collaboratively to create a unified whole, a really creative vision behind this. So it starts, of course, with the script, and it's a really interesting and elegantly written script, and it's very engaging, and you follow the story of Mall Flanders through a series of flashbacks that jump through time and then come back to the night before she's due to be executed in Newgate Prison, and she's essentially confessing to the priest that is there for her. And so the story itself is very captivating. Conceptually, Brian Gill, who's the director, just took it in some really interesting directions in terms of the staging and how he used that backdrop of the Newgate Prison, and then suddenly we're in the streets of London, or suddenly we're in the Americas, and how he very fluidly transitioned from location to location and flashback to real time. That was really well done. I mean, everything, costuming, lighting, as a first-time student lighting designer, and just every single moment in the play, and each one of these, I believe it's 22 different locations and flashbacks, all has a different lighting look and a different mood and a different feel. Sound design is underscoring almost entirely throughout the production, and so it just has this lyrical beauty to the entire thing. And so ultimately, I think it's because the judges could really see that level of collaboration in creating something artistically beautiful that they thought it represented our region well.
Yeah, not just one particular aspect of the production, but the
how it all came together.
Yes. From the scenic design side, I want to talk a little bit about that in a second, because we are moving from the Black Box Theater at UW Parkside to a larger venue in Madison. When do you start thinking about scenic design when you look at that production? How does that process go in terms of getting together with do you look at the script and go from there, or just what does that process look like?
Yeah, the design process for all the designers and the directors starts about 12 weeks out from opening. So the actors rehearse about the last 5 weeks before opening. But we start production meetings 12 weeks out. And it starts with reading the script and coming up with ideas and doing research into the time period and artistic style that ties in well with the way the script is written. And we get together weekly and discuss these things and look at each other's research and sketches and work between the costume designer, lighting designer, scenic designer, director, sound designer. And so we all share our ideas and make sure that we're all heading in the same direction and supporting each other. And in this one in particular, because we knew we were entering it to be taken, from a scenic design and technical direction standpoint, it was engineered from the beginning to be easily set up and quickly taken down.
Okay.
We had that in mind. We have had to make some modifications. It was the technical director, who is the person in charge of figuring out how to, and then in charge of all the personnel building the set, is a senior student, Chelsea Strebe. And she did a remarkable job in planning this out and really thinking it through on how this was going to go together, come apart, go together, come apart, go together, come apart, in a way that it would be stable and able to travel.
Because you have people running around to these various levels of the set, which says it has to be fairly sturdy so that people are fairly high up off the stage, that the set is structurally sound enough to do that, even though you're moving it from one venue to another.
Yeah, so even though it had to be portable, it had to be engineered to be very stable. The set itself it's name off statistics. It's 32 feet wide and about 30 feet deep. And the platforms are the levels that you're talking about. So there are actors at various levels all over. I think the tallest one is 13 feet off the ground is what they're standing on. And so their head is up, close to 19 feet.
Right.
So they are very high up there. The way that we engineered it, though, is we built the entire structure based off of stock scaffolding that, is used in the construction trades, because that is engineered to be safe and stable at those heights. And then we put the facade of the set of Newgate Prison, applied that to this steel scaffolding frame.
Okay. And how does, when you're looking at doing this production, how does the decision to have it in the Black Box Theater, the smaller of the two venues, let's say, compared to the Main Stage Theater, was that a scheduling, something going on with the university, or is that because that's how we want this this production to feel, because the audience is much more intimate with the players and with the set than they would be in the Main Stage?
It's the latter in that case. We chose the Black Box in a thrust configuration because we wanted the audience surrounding on three sides, and we wanted that intimacy between the characters and the audience, because there is a different feel when you're playing to in a proscenium theater, a standard style theater, out to the sea of seats and audience. It's much more intimate to have them surrounding. And so the original production we wanted to have in the Black Box Theater in a thrust. And we knew that we probably weren't going to have that luxury if we were chosen. So we assumed that we were going to be going into a proscenium theater. And again, the set was designed with that in mind. And actually, right now, as we're talking, the director and the cast are working on restaging for a traditional proscenium style, because some of the action that was played out to the sides now has to be played downstage towards the audience.
Okay.
So they have today and tomorrow to rehearse those the different space.
Mm-hmm.
The prior 2 days, myself and a group of five students worked on moving the set from the black box, making sure it fit into a 26-foot truck, into that size rectangle, and then took it out of that and set it all up over the last 2 days. So while the actors are rehearsing today, they're actually rehearsing on the set, set up on our main stage, which we had also set up to be exactly like the space that we will be going into.
Mm-hmm. And what space will it be presented at in Madison?
In Madison, the festival this year is being held at both the UW-Madison campus and at Madison Area Technical College. And so we'll be performing in the larger space, which is at MATC in their Midby Theater, which is a 975-seat house.
Mm, okay. It would seem that the from an actor standpoint, that's a challenge as well to play this differently or not?
It will be, particularly in the area of projection, because in the black box theater, in the thrust, the audience, the depth of the audience is 20 feet, 25 feet for each of the small areas. And in this, they're going to have to project, 80, 90, 100 feet. In this case, the black box theater holds 150, and we expect to be performing for probably around 500 to 600.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that idea of being able to, where you're in the black box space, which is more intimate, to be able to pull back and still be heard and get that emotion across, now has to be played in a much broader way to be able to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is another thing that they are rehearsing today, is getting used to that.
Did the set, the actual design of the set, did that change at all, or is it just that it's now in a different space?
It really didn't have to change very much at all. We are fortunate, I would say, to have our black box theater is really, it's nicely equipped and a good size.
Mm-hmm.
And so the proscenium width of where we're going into was about the same as what we were doing in our black box theater here at Parkside. We had to eliminate one section of scaffolding, which was off stage anyway, and so no one would notice. So for all intents and purposes, it looks like the exact same set. We had to pare down a couple things that, again, no one would notice, but just because we knew they weren't going to fit in the truck, or we wouldn't have time to set them up.
Yeah. The number of awards that UW-Parkside Theater Arts students have taken home from the Kennedy Center Festival is I think, fairly impressive given over the past number of years that the university has been participating in that. And one of them is the Golden Hand Truck Award, which is something that you're working toward. You want to get that Golden Hand Truck Award back. And tell us about the Golden Hand Truck Award.
Happy to. That, yes, all the students are very much behind this, and I am behind this too. Of the five shows that are selected to participate at the festival, the biggest award that you can receive is the Golden Hand Truck Award. So years ago, the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival at the national level used to have the funding to be able to select one show from each region as the winner, and then that show would get to perform at the Kennedy Center in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 years ago-ish, that funding stopped. And so shows don't go on to Washington, D.C. anymore, but the one award that everyone vies for is the Golden Hand Truck. And that is for what is deemed the best load-in and load-out of the set and lights and props and costumes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so each show, has to fit fit the entire set and everything into a truck. And then each school that is going has 4 hours to unload the truck and set up the set and rehearse if there's time left. Mm-hmm. And then they do the performance, and then there's 1 hour to take the set down.
Wow.
This is going to be a challenge because the set is the scale of the set is very grand. But again, like I said, senior Chelsea Strieb and myself, we worked very hard on pre-planning this so that it would go together as methodically as possible. And so what we've done in the past two days is with a team of just five students who really will know everything really well inside and out. But when we go to the festival, we have 45 students going this year, and about 20 of those will be just for scenery. Mm-hmm. And so my hope, my goal, is that we will very smoothly do this in about 2 or 2.5 hours to get it set up, and then we'll have time to rehearse things. And then, yeah, it'll come down in an hour because we have planned this out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's how smoothly you do it, how safely you do it, how good communication is. If people are running or yelling, that's not a good thing. But it's one thing that we do particularly well at UW Parkside, partly because of our relationship with the Fireside Theater in Fort Atkinson, because most of our students participate in those load-in and load-outs of their sets every 7 weeks. And so it's a thing that our students are accustomed to doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our odds are really good this year. The last time we entered to take a show, we were also selected, and that show was Reasons to Be Pretty, I believe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the Golden Hand Truck for that. And so we have one hanging on our wall now. And yes, it is a metal hand truck, spray painted gold.
It is.
but it is the envy of everyone. So the last time we went, we won, and this time we hope to again.
Well, good luck on having two golden hand trucks hanging on the wall. That would that would be a good thing. Just in the way that you've described the number of students who are involved in the process, and that it's not just students in the theater arts department being actors, and beyond that, so much is going on behind the scenes. I know that's a cliche, but behind the scenes. And talk to me about the philosophy of the theater arts department and the company model that we have here, and what makes that different or special or allows students to get involved in different ways.
And one thing that really makes UW Parkside Theater Arts unique is the way, I mean, it's our core mission and the core foundation of how we operate. So we are an educational institution, and it's a theater arts major. But beyond taking the classes, there are expectations for all the theater arts majors and minors that they are, when you're accepted as a major or a minor, you are part of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And we base this off of other theater companies. The most local that I can think of is American Players Theater in Spring Green,
mm-hmm.
where everyone who is working there is part of this company and invested equally. So what we do here at UW Parkside is every student auditions for every show. If they're a designer or a technician or a stage manager, they still audition for the shows and are expected to accept a role if cast, because we want all students to have that experience of being on stage. On the other side, if students don't get cast, then they are expected to work on production crews, helping build costumes, helping paint the set, helping to work on the lighting or the sound. And so every student in some way is involved in every single production that we do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that it's one of my favorite things, we call them Super Saturdays. And so before every show, 3 weeks before opening, on a Saturday from 9 to 5, we have all of the students and faculty and staff work on the show together. And so we have around 70 people working, an 8-hour day in all of the various shops, and we all have a potluck lunch together, and so we eat as a family, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really reinforces that company spirit of we're all in this together, and it's amazing what you can do. And our quality of productions, I think, speaks for that when everyone is absolutely behind it.
Mm-hmm. When UW Parkside is out at various high schools in the local region, beyond, in Illinois, Wisconsin, Is that something that high school theater, either instructors or the students, is that something they find exciting as far as being a part of that company model?
It really depends on the student. Some students are very specific in what they want to do. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of students when they leave high school, they very specifically want to be an actor in musicals. Mm-hmm. And they have no interest or desire to learn other things. Mm-hmm. And when we are an audition and interview-based major, and so before someone can become a major, they have to mm-hmm. audition for us and meet with us and talk with the faculty and staff. And those students, that's a very specific career path they want, and that's not the kind of theater we are. And so mm-hmm. we say, well, we like you, but you might not be happy here.
Right.
And so what we offer is something that industry really likes. And so the amount and quality of our internship partnerships that we have with various theaters in the region and around the country, I think really speaks to that because we place a lot of students based on that they can do a variety of things. Mm-hmm. One of those this past summer was Dorr Shakespeare mm-hmm. in Dorr County, Wisconsin. Just remarkable quality of productions. And we had two interns that got to go there mm-hmm. From our program. And one of them was an acting intern, but also worked on scenery and other aspects of production because he had those skills, because mm-hmm. he wasn't just focused on the one thing that he could do. So he excelled in multiple areas, and that made him really desirable.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that experience mean to the students, and when they come back to Parkside for the next semester, do you see a change in the person because they were out doing that, maybe where it's, I don't want to use the term real world, but you are out in a different setting than the academic setting. Do you see a change in them when they come back?
Yeah, it's really nice when they have summer internship opportunities because they are working in professional theater, and it's great to see them come back and see what they've learned, for one thing, because that's mm-hmm. always interesting to hear about new things that they've learned. But their confidence goes way up, too, because they get to go there and realize that all the things we've been telling them are actually true and respected true. Out in the real world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great to see them come back with that confidence and hear their stories every fall.
Kind of moving away a little bit from the theater side, but part of the theater arts area and part of what you're doing is involved in the new digital design and fabrication lab, and that opened just this past fall semester. It's an area that is multidisciplinary, in that there are various academic departments coming to work in this area. Tell us a little bit about that area and why that's important for the for students' academic experience here.
Absolutely. So the Digital Design and Fabrication Certificate Program, we started talking about maybe 2 years ago, and it was spearheaded by art professor Trenton Baylor and Carrie Waters and myself, because it was an interest area and something that I had some expertise in, and it was something that didn't exist at UW-Parkside. So the dean of our college really had an interest in pursuing groundbreaking 21st century technologies and how that could be applied in multiple areas. So in other schools, a fab lab, or what we have mm-hmm. For digital fabrication, comes out of like an industrial technology program or perhaps an engineering program. Mm-hmm. And this, what we're doing at UW-Parkside, is our focus, it's coming out of theater arts and art, at least that's where it's getting spearheaded from and where mm-hmm. the roots of it came from, because we want the people who are doing and using these technologies, we want them to really embrace that creative spirit. And so it's not just about learning the equipment, which is a lot of what a lot of fab labs do. You can learn how to use a laser cutter, and you can learn mm-hmm. how to use a 3D printer. Yes, you can learn those things, but the spirit behind it is use your creative vision come up with something that inspires you, and then apply that using the tools. And so we developed a four-course sequence that takes people from the foundations of being able to understand 2D and 3D CAD and using the software interface, and then applying that to starting to learn the equipment, but with their own creative vision. Mm-hmm. And then it culminates in a course that once they have learned every piece of equipment that we have in the digital design and fabrication lab, it essentially is a course where they have to come up with a product or an idea and use a multimedium approach to create this. And so it's great. The skill set is wonderful for developing design ideas, prototyping, testing things out, and seeing your vision come to life. And so it applies to really multiple areas all across campus, and you can see that in the students who are taking the courses, chemistry, business, entrepreneurship, geosciences. Almost every field uses this technology in the real world or some aspect of it, and so it's a really valuable skill set to have on a resume, really no matter what your major. Because some aspect of it applies in industry and in the real world.
In your career, and watching how technology has changed scenic design, what are there pros and cons to the way it's changed how people design theater sets, or is it all a benefit because you're seeing things differently than maybe if it was just painted or sketched on paper?
Boy, that is a large philosophical question that I get to hear about in panels at conferences.
Oh, okay.
Computer technology has really changed the way that theatrical design works, but it doesn't have to. There are still plenty of designers that still do everything by pencil and paper and watercolor. Mm-hmm. And then there are other designers who use digital technology. Essentially, it's a tool. I mean, when I teach a CAD class, I hold up a pencil and say, this is a pencil, and hold up the computer and say, this is basically the same thing. It's just a different tool. Mm-hmm. And so it's the ideas that really matter, and how you implement that is up to the individual person. There's something actually really cool related to the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, to the show that we're taking. Noah Fry, who's a junior who did the lighting design, he's working with Jake Bray, who is our professor of lighting design. And they are using a software package where they took my digital 3D model of the set and put it into the digital model of the theater space we're going into that was sent to us. And has the virtual lighting system in it. And now we have software at UW Parkside where in real time the student lighting designer can run through actual lighting cues and see them visualized on the screen in that space before we even go there. And so that's brand new, groundbreaking. Like, this is the first time we're trying it out, and it's really exciting. So it opens up a world of opportunities. Digital technology is just... for theatrical design is just wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. Tell us a little bit about what, besides the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, which is certainly very important and taking up a lot of your time and focus at the moment, but when you look out for the spring semester, what are some of the things that we can expect from Parkside Theater?
Well, we have... two main stage shows coming up and two stage readings. The next show that we have that's being performed is a stage reading of My Barking Dog, which is being directed by Fabrice Kant-Williamson, who's our new professor of directing and theater history. After that, we have a musical, You're in Town.
I'm in town?
Spelled differently.
No,
yes.
Spelled differently. Oh, okay.
Which is a really wonderful and funny and poignant musical. So that is coming up in, I want to say late March. I don't have the calendar right in front of me. So that will be in our main stage theater. Then we will have Love's Labor's Lost by Shakespeare, directed by Brian Gill. That will be our other main stage show, and that will be in the Black Box Theater, so that's fully produced in there. And then our final staged reading is actually because of the 50th anniversary of UW Parkside. We have contracted, or they volunteered, alumni from our department have written three short plays, and they are going to be directing and performing and also incorporating some of our current students into those productions. And so our last stage reading of the year will be an alumni produced.
Well, that should be fun.
It will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be great to have them back. It's always nice to see faces from here.
Good. Well, it's always nice when you can join us on Parkside Today. I know it's been a little bit, and we were talking about the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival last time you were here. So after a successful presentation of Moll Flanders in Madison and another gold hand truck to hang on the wall, you'll have to come back and tell us about that experience.
Absolutely. Be happy to do it.
Well, we've been happy to have Jody Sikas, who is Associate Professor of Scenic Design and Technology and Digital Design and Fabrication here at UW Parkside. He and members of the Theater Arts Department will be in Madison participating in the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival, and we wish the Parkside Theater Company all the best.